we used to be the world leader, and others have caught up and surpassed us. And so it's a significant challenge for the U.S. Going forward. We have to get more students through the system, through high school, through college, and into the workforce with the skills they needed to succeed.
This is At Brookings, a weekly in-depth look at the issues behind the news. This week, reforming and strengthening American education.
Education and income are clearly linked. The more education one has, the more money one will likely earn. And it follows countries with a strong education system are countries with economic clout. As U.S. educational attainment slips, the nation is losing global stature and competitiveness. Senior fellow Grover Russ Whitehurst directs the Brown Center on Education Policy and offers a four-pronged plan to help improve the quality of education in America.
Your paper links economic growth and opportunity for the student and for the country itself. Would you explain that link to us?
We are in a knowledge-based economy, and so the ability of our citizens to have the skills and knowledge that allow productive growth is essential to the nation's productive future. You can think of Silicon Valley as the case in point where that's entirely driven by knowledge, and indeed increasingly internationally countries' economies are driven by that kind of knowledge base. So we need for our students to succeed at high levels.
You make four recommendations in your policy brief on how to reform education and how you think these reforms would benefit not just the education system, but really the economy as a whole. The first recommendation is to base the curriculum for kindergarten through the 12th grade, through high school, on what you call evidence of effectiveness. Could you explain what evidence of effectiveness means?
The evidence has to do with the amount of student achievement gain that is generated by a particular curriculum. It's the same type of evidence in general that you'd want to look at in choosing which pharmaceutical, which drug to take if you were sick. You'd want the drug that had the biggest impact on the illness. We need the curricula that have the biggest impact on student achievement.
I think one of your more controversial proposals is that teachers be evaluated in what you say are ways that meaningfully differentiate levels of performance. And, of course, as I say, teacher performance is a hot-button issue. What constitutes meaningful evaluations? And how do you think in the current atmosphere they could get implemented?
A meaningful evaluation would have two critical components. One would be that it would produce a spread of effectiveness scores for teachers. Currently, around the country, where teachers are evaluated at all, virtually all get a passing grade. 98% or 99% are considered satisfactory every year. So we need systems, because we know that teachers differ in their effectiveness, we need systems that can pick up that spread. Some teachers should get good grades, some teachers should get mediocre grades, some teachers should get low grades. The other thing we want is that system predict student outcomes. So teachers that get high grades should be associated with students that show more learning. The details are important, but those two critical features, spread and prediction, are essential to good teacher evaluation systems.
Another one of your recommendations that's somewhat provocative has to do with technology. And you propose accrediting online schools, kids learning from the computer, to compete with traditional classroom schools. How would that work? And how do you think it would benefit education in the United States?
Productivity in education in the U.S. is the sick child of the service industries. Every other industry has showed productivity growth over the last 20 years. For education, we spend more and get less. The only powerful way to change that curve is to introduce technology into education. Currently, at the post-secondary level, at the college level, about 20% of students take at least one course online. That's not happening in K-12. No reason that isn't fixable, that it couldn't happen in K-12.
One of the intriguing ideas you put forward is to link post-secondary programs, that is, college programs, to outcomes in the real-world labor market. And it seems to me you're saying that students maybe ought to take a look at whether an expensive college education is really going to get them a good-paying job. Would you talk about that a little bit?
If you're interested in obtaining an associate's degree in nursing from a local community college, wouldn't you want to know what the employment prospects are for students who go through that particular nursing program? It could be that the nursing program at the community college 20 miles down the road is doing a much better job. So having a marketplace for the outcomes that are produced by post-secondary education institutions, I think will change the nature of that market considerably. Institutions will have to compete on their effects on student outcomes, not on the quality of their grounds, the attractiveness of their buildings, or the winning record of their sports teams.
Thank you, Russ.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for joining us. I'm Ron Nesson. See you again next week.
At Brookings is produced by the Brookings Institution. To learn more about the issues discussed on At Brookings, visit our website at brookings.edu.